following unedited footage has been declassified by the Banzai Institute for Biomedical Engineering and Strategic Information.
Hello, I am Randy Andrews, and today I'll be discussing the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across the 8th dimension. I'll talk about the cast, the background, the technical aspects, and also the soundtrack. It's all today on Soundtrack Alley. So today, I'll be talking about the cult classic from 1984, Buckaroo Banzai. Let's get into some of the discussion on the cast.
See this rock?
It's solid matter, right?
But in point of fact, the solid parts of this rock, the neutrons, quarks, protons, and electrons, comprise only about 1/4 of its total volume.
How many zeros is that?
Quite a few. The rest of this rock is actually only empty space. So back in 1937, Professor Akita here and Dr. Emilio Lizardo figured that if solid matter were mostly just empty space, a person should be able to discover a way to travel inside things.
Jamie Lee Curtis played Buckaroo's mother in a flashback, but this scene was cut. The scene is available on the recent DVD release as an optional prequel to the theatrical version, and as a special feature. Jamie Lee Curtis is visible in a photo on the dashboard of the jet car in the widescreen version. John Lithgow's dialect coach, Roberto Terminelli, was actually a tailor on the 20th Century Fox lot with a heavy Italian accent. John had Roberto speak his lines from the script into a tape recorder, which he then used to practice the accent. John then got him credit in the movie as the dialect coach for his help. John Lithgow appeared as Dr. Lizardo on Saturday Night Live in 1975 during the opening of the show he hosted. Many of the lines given to Lord John Worfen, who was Dr. Lizardo, are misquotes of actual common phrases or quotes from famous people. For instance, home is where you wear your hat, as a corruption of home is where you hang your hat. His line, character is who you are in the dark, is a corruption of Dwight Moody's quote, character is what you think in the dark. Other similar lines include, I feel so broke up, I want to go home, from Sloop John B. Persecute him without a quarter. Pursue him without a quarter. So Buckaroo sings Since I Don't Have You in the nightclub scene. Released in December 1958 by the Skyliners, the song became their greatest hit and remains an all-time doo-wop classic. New Jersey's, or I should say Jeff Goldblum's, response to Buckaroo, who is played by Peter Weller, he couldn't sing, but he could dance, is a reference to a screen test results from Fred Astaire's early auditions. According to Peter Weller, he had a particularly tough time filming the scene without laughing where Lord John Worfen, Dr. Lizardo, is torturing Buckaroo with electricity, because it was the first time he had heard John Lithgow perform what Weller likes to refer to as John's Italian Martian accent. When John Worfen calls collect for John Big Booty, which is Christopher Lloyd, he tells the operator he's calling Grover's Mill. Grover's Mill was a real-life community in New Jersey, which was used in Orson Welles' famous radio broadcast of War of the Worlds, and is now part of West Windsor Township in Mercer County. When it came time to film the end title sequence, where Buckaroo and his pals are walking around a dry Los Angeles aqueduct in step to the music wasn't ready. Composer Michael Boudicker told the film crew to use the song Uptown Girl by Billy Joel as a placeholder because it was the exact same tempo. Those scenes were filmed with Uptown Girl blaring from a boombox tied to the back of the camera truck. Now let's talk about some of the background on the film.
Not for while you can, monkey boy!
Some of the dialogue used in the jet car sequence is taken directly from mission control chatter heard during a shuttle launch countdown. The U.S. DVD release includes a caption portion titled Pinky Carter's Unknown Facts, which actually adds to the storyline and character development of the film. In the original script, Buckaroo was supposed to have an archenemy named Hanyai Zan, who was never seen, but referenced to by Buckaroo and the other characters. All the scenes containing dialogue regarding Zan were deleted from the film's theatrical release, but are now available on DVD. Zan was supposed to be the mysterious head of a crime syndicate called the World Crime League, and also the man who murdered Buckaroo's parents and wife, Peggy. Overall, concept and several names appeared to be taken from the Doc Savage pulp magazines of the 1930s and 40s. Both main characters are multi-talented surgeons, adventurers, and musicians, and both have an inner circle of sidekicks with nicknames, such as Rennie, Ham, Monk, Long Tom, and Johnny. And this is compared to the Buckaroo Banzai team, which is Reno, New Jersey, Perfect Tommy, and Rawhide. On at the Movies in 1984 was just before the film's release. Gene Siskel correctly guessed that the movie would attain cult status. The oscillation overthruster device reappeared as a spectral analyzer on Star Trek The Next Generation Season 2, Episode 15, Pen Pals, so you might want to look for that. The end of the movie invites the viewer to watch for the upcoming film Buckaroo Banzai vs. the World Crime League. This was the real title for a sequel that Sherwood Studios planned to make, if this film had been successful. Unfortunately, it was a box office bomb, and Sherwood Studios went bankrupt. After its release on video and cable, however, the film became a cult favorite, much in the same way as Mad Max, which crawled from obscurity to spawn two sequels, and now three sequels. Legal wrangling due to the bankruptcy prevented any other studios from picking up the sequel rights, and even many years later, MGM had to fight through the pile of red tape simply to get the okay to re-release it on home video. Many names and terms were taken from Thomas Piken's book, The Crying of Lot 49, most notably the company named Yoyodyne. To this day, there is a Yoyodyne.com, which serves as a fan site for the film. Yoyodyne itself was Picon's thinly veiled reference to Rocketdyne, a major defense industry contractor and manufacturer of rocket engines, found just after World War II to reverse engineer German V-2 rockets, thereby also making this a further veiled reference to Picon's novel Gravity's Rainbow. The jet car shown in the film, reportedly a 1982 Ford F-350 pickup truck, included an actual Cold War-era General Electric turbo jet engine that was borrowed from Northrop University in Inglewood, California. In one scene, Reno refers to Orson Welles as the guy from the old wine commercials. This is a reference to Welles' popular television commercials in the 1970s for the Paul Mason Winery, now known as Mountain Winery, where he used the slogan, "We will sell no wine before it's time." In the early 1980s, Welles was fired from the advertising campaign after stating on a U.S. talk show that he never drank the company's wine. The latitude and longitude recited by the technicians during the alignment of the oscillation overthruster are the coordinates of Cape Canaveral, Florida, which is pretty ironic. The original director of photography of the film was Jordan Cronenwelth, who famously shot Blade Runner. The filmmakers specifically wanted their film to be rich in color and texture, for which Cronenwelth was specifically known. However, several weeks into filming, producer David Beagleman had Jordan Cronenwelth replaced with Fred Cohenkamp against the wishes of the crew, including director W.D. Richer, in order to give the film its campy, flat visual appearance, which the filmmakers had never originally intended. Scenes shot by Jordan Cronenwelth still remain in the final cut, including the famous nightclub scene featuring the line, "Wherever you go, there you are." Michael Madsen was offered the part of Perfect Tommy, but turned it down due to scheduling conflicts with The Natural. According to John Lithgow and Peter Weller, Jordan Cronenwelth shot almost half of the film, but was replaced at the producer's insistence. Lithgow stated that W.D. Richer's model for the look was the French film Diva, but the producer wanted it to look more like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Lithgow felt Fred Cohenkamp brought a more two-dimensional look to what Cronenwelth was doing. President Widmark is clearly intended to look and sound like Orson Welles, who directed and starred in the radio production of War of the Worlds, referenced in the film. Tom Hanks was originally considered for the role of Buckaroo Banzai. That certainly would have made for a different film. Peter Weller and John Lithgow also have appeared on Dexter. Lithgow played the Trinity Killer in Season 4, and Weller played a corrupt cop in Season 5. Ronald Lacey was also dubbed by a well-known American actor. Now let's get into some of the technical aspects.
I want some music out of you characters.
You want it, Artie? You got it.
Let's rock and roll!
During the jet car test, the computer screen that has the graphics shows three different words: Sened, Sealed, and Delivered. It actually is different from that. Between his escape from the asylum and his random ransom call, the movie's main villain, John Warfen, is not seen for more than 42 straight minutes, over 40% of the film's runtime. The kanji lettering on Buckaroo Banzai's headband as he drives the jet car reads Senkatsu Bai, which appears to be Japanese, but it doesn't make sense. The first two kanji mean living or lifestyle, but the second character, Bai, not B-E-I, as has been reported elsewhere, or beautiful, does not add up to coherent Japanese. It seems to suggest the beautiful life, but these three kanji together do not have a particular meaning in Japanese. Banzai's mention, but unseen foe, of Hanoi Zan seems to homage Hanoi Shan. In the genealogical section of Doc Savage, His Apocalyptic Life, Philip Jose Farmer added Hanoi Shan to the World Newton universe. Hanoi Shan is an allegedly real-life criminal mastermind documented in the works of criminologist H. Ashton Wolfe. Farmer's thesis was to make Hanoi Shan the same individual as Sax Rahmer's totally fictional Dr. Fu Manchu. Lord John Warfen's line, "Character is what you are in the dark," is of course the misquote of the actual quote, "Character is what you think in the dark." Toward the end, when they are sneaking around the Lectroid sleeping area, where one of the Lectroids goes to sound the alarm, stenciled in bright pink letters on the wall to the left of all those electrical circuit boxes is "Find the Chronoshoe Missing Circuit. Win a free trip to Planet 10. During the surgery on the Eskimo boy, Zweibel states how confused he was at the point before he called in Banzai. He mentions not knowing whether he was looking at the precentral vein, the vein of Galen, the basal vein of Rosenthal, or one of the internal cerebral veins. Buckaroo says, when you get this far inside the head, it all looks the same. In reality, all those veins are in very close proximity and joined together, so it probably does look that difficult to distinguish one from the other. There would indeed have been some normal variation with most of those veins because the vein of Galen is significantly larger in diameter and hard to miss. Goldblum does a good job up to the point of pronouncing basal vein of Rosenthal, making the first word sound more like Balasar when it should be Basil. The white helicopter is an example of the Bell 206 Jet Ranger Long Ranger series. The New Jersey license plate on the jet car reads Rocket 88. A real treasure trove of information. The spelling of rocket, which is R-O-K-I-T, comes from rocket, or R-O-C-K-E-T, and Rocket 88 was an Oldsmobile model equipped with a rocket V8 engine and considered the first muscle car. The car inspired an R&B song, Rocket 88, recorded in 1951 by Jackie Brenston and his Delta Cats, sometimes considered the first rock and roll song, a tribute in a way to Buckaroo's musical prowess. The sax riff, beginning around 39 seconds into the song, is nearly identical to that in the bar scene. It would have been fun to imagine that the license plate spelling was intentionally done with I instead of E, so it would suggest it could have been meant to sound like rocket for the music Buckaroo's band played. The jet car itself was powered by electro-nuclear carburetion, something as inventive as the Olds Hydra-Matic automatic transmission, and appeared to be powered in the field experiment by a flaming jet engine similar to, but not larger than, that of the Batmobile of comic fame. The BB symbol on the side of the vehicle is also shaped to resemble 88, instead of just being the initials for Buckaroo Banzai. The logo on the side of the Rug Suckers van reads, "We clean carpets the old-fashioned way," which is an odd factoid. When Lizardo is torturing Buckaroo, there's a thick book on the table behind him. Its title reads, "Men of Earth," which could refer to the 1931 book, but it would be ironic if Lizardo used it to study about humans because it is just a collection of stories of 40s farmers. Comic references. Buckaroo Banzai didn't stop with just the movie. His character went on to go into the comic world. The main references are through Moonstone Books. There was the direct adaptation of the film through Marvel Comics. There was also The Hardest of the Hard, basically a rock adventure of a woman who likes things pointy, which is odd. What was she like before this bass player joined the Hong Kong Cavaliers? And how did she join up? Buckaroo and his team extricate her from her trouble. Love and mystery reside in this two-issue comic. There was also Wherever You Go, There You Are. And then there's Origins, Return of the Screw, and even a prequel comic. Now, did you know that even there was a video game based upon the movie? Yes. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension was an interactive video game released in 1984 on the Apple II, the Atari 8-bit, the Commodore 16, the Plus, and the 64. It was created by Scott Adams and published by Adventure International. On my blog, you'll find the covers to the comics shown there. There was even a TV series that tried to go into development. This was through Fox. Big surprise there. It was entitled Buckaroo Banzai, Ancient Secrets and New Mysteries. Nothing came of it. However, on the special edition DVD, there's a short computer animated sequence done by Foundation Imaging that was for a test reel for the series. Among other things, the clips depicts a space shuttle trying to land with broken landing gear, and Dr. Banzai maneuvers his jet car under the shuttle to use it for the landing. Kevin Smith even was expressing interest in the movie in 2016, saying he was going to adapt it for television. Of course, it also never saw the light of day. Now let's get into some of the facts on the soundtrack.
I'm gonna sing this song for you, Peggy.
Oh, Penny.
And anybody else
Cheers.
Out there won't waste it.
The film's music coordinator and sound designer, Bones Howe, worked with musician Michael Boddicker, who wrote and performed the score on the theme music and sound effects. Howe selected the source music for the club scene and put together a special arrangement of Since I Don't Have You that Buckaroo sings to Penny Pretty in an accomplished musician played the guitar and pocket trumpet and did his own vocals and learned to mime piano playing. Howe and the filmmakers decided not to go with the rock music score and opted for an electronic one instead. He wanted to integrate music and sound effects so that everything would merge on the soundtrack with no distinction between music and sound. Boddicker was Howe's first choice for composer. They had worked together on the soundtrack for Get Crazy. Boddicker had just won a Grammy for his song Imagination on the Flashdance soundtrack. In addition to composing the score, he also produced alien sound effects while Alan Haworth was hired to create the sounds of the eighth dimension. Here is an example. So today, what I'd like to do is present a couple suites of music that help us really enjoy the music, and I hope you can appreciate this cult classic musical film. The first I'll present is the opening theme, which is iconic and very memorable. Then we have Red Lectoids from Planet 10. Then we have Penny's theme. I hope you enjoy these.
Thank you.
Sadly, we've come down to another end of Soundtrack Alley. I'd like to thank Alexander Schiebel for my excellent intro. You can check out his work at xanderscores.com. So before closing today, I'll be playing the Motorcycle Chase, the Team Banzai theme, which is fantastic, and the end credits long version, which also has an iconic feel to it, and you can feel yourself just humming along or singing to it without realizing it. So you can find me at soundtrackalley.net, soundtrackalley.podbean.com, Facebook, Twitter, at RandallAndrews1, and email me at soundtrackalley@yahoo.com. I hope you enjoyed this show, and until next time, happy listening.
Remember, no matter where you go, there you are.
Thank you for listening to Soundtrack Alley, the podcast. I hope you take the time to review my podcast on iTunes or even listen to it on Podbean. With your review, it helps me get noticed on iTunes. Thank you so much. Have a good day. Thank you for listening to Soundtrack Alley Spotlight. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the show. Also, if you want to leave a comment, question, or concern, please email me at soundtrackalley@gmail.com and enjoy looking at my blog at soundtrackalley.com.